praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. In this age, when so many people are talking about events related to the end times as prophesied in the Bible, you hear a lot of talk and speculation concerning this infamous personality that will play a major part in those events. Christians and even interested unbelievers commonly use the name Antichrist to identify this one. Actually, though this term is biblical, it can only be found in two books out of the 66 in the Bible, and those two are 1 and 2 John. But it's interesting to examine how John uses this title. It may surprise you to hear that there have been many antichrists that have already come and gone. Yes, there is one coming whom the Bible speaks of at the end times, but for our need today, we should be very clear about the real meaning of the term antichrist. And Francis Ball is here to help us understand what is really meant by this term. Francis, I'm looking forward to this program. It's really insightful and enlightening, isn't it?
I think this is one of the most important programs we've done for a long time, because this term is so used to just describe this man of sin who will appear on the earth. But as you mentioned, the term Antichrist is not just referring to that infamous character, but it's referring to everyone who would deny or not adhere to the Christ, the one who really is against Christ. And who is Christ? I think these two terms are very important to us, to know who is Christ and what is an antichrist.
Well, Francis, let's talk about the context in which this term antichrist is really used in the Bible. As I said, there are four or five mentions, all of which are either in 1 or 2 John. All but one, actually, are in 1 John, a book that we have been in now. And, Francis, we're now, I think this is our 22nd program in the life study of 1 John, the vast majority of which have dealt with this matter of the anointing one way or another. And we're back on that topic today. The last two programs we've had dealing with the matter of the triune God, marvelous programs, back on the anointing, because this is such a central theme in the book of 1 John. And it is in this context, particularly chapter 2, that there is the most spoken concerning Antichrist. It is related to the matter of the anointing. And I think that gets developed in a wonderful way in Witness Lee sharing today. Why don't we join him right now? Let me read a couple of verses again to get us more focused on the matter of the anointing, how critical it is, and the two verses that we've been using again and again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. Verse 20 says, "And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know." And then verse 27, "And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him."
Very good.
Very good is right. And again, I think the program today is going to be very enlightening to a lot of our listeners. So please stay with us today. Here's Witness Lee.
The teaching of the divine anointing is for the abiding in the triune God. If the triune God remains just as the Father, even as the Son, the triune God could not enter into us. The triune God could only enter into our spirit as the Spirit. So, listen, the word anointing doesn't refer much to the Father. It doesn't refer much to the Son, but refers to the Spirit. When you say the anointing, you mean what? You mean the reaching of the very triune God as the Spirit. when the very triune God reaches us and gets into our spirit, he is the life-giving spirit. And this life-giving spirit who indwells our spirit is moving, is working, is sealing within us. And this can moving and this can sealing is the anointing. And this anointing has too much to do with our abiding in the Lord. If the divine anointing is cut off, is damaged, then there's no abiding in the Lord. If there's no abiding in the Lord, it is hard to maintain the fellowship. Then we could not enjoy all the riches of the divine life. But at the apostles' time, there was a heresy that said Jesus is not the Christ. Here we do have a language problem. You know, Christ in Greek is Christos. And Christos means the anointed. And anointing is chrisma. Christ as the anointed one becomes the anointing. Because he is the anointed one, so he has a lot of ointment. Eventually, the anointed one becomes the anointing one. Even he becomes the anointing. So, to deny that Jesus is Christ means what? To deny that Jesus is the anointed one. And to deny the anointed one simply means to deny the anointing.
Francis, let's kind of review here the key points, and then you can pick up the fellowship about this wonderful identification between the anointed one and the anointing one. The heresy he referred to, which we've talked about before, was this denial that was popular at the time among some, denying that Jesus was the Christ. They acknowledged that Jesus was born of Mary, not in a virgin birth, but just was a man. And then at a certain time, the eternal Son of God, the Christ, was associated with him, but that they weren't the same. So it was really a denying and identification with Jesus being the Christ. And he mentioned that the term Christ really means the anointed one. But the context of this is all related to the anointed one becoming the anointing one. And this is the point I'll hand it to you and ask you to clear this up for us.
Well, I hope I could help clear it up because this is a very, very important matter. To deny that Jesus is the Christ, of course, that's against the very truth. This Christ not only came and was incarnated to live on the earth for 33 and a half years and then to die on the cross and be resurrected, and he became the life-giving spirit. There's no other way could this anointing get into us unless Christ became the spirit.
Right.
Because he comes into our spirit as the spirit, and this anointing is really Christ himself as the Spirit. This is the main thing today and has been missed by many people, even to the point of becoming anti-anointing.
Yeah, as he pointed out in Greek, the word Christ is Christos, which means the anointed, and the word for anointing is Christma, which is the anointing. We can see the similarity even linguistically. But of course, this is referring to Christ in resurrection as the life-giving spirit, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:45, a verse we've talked about many, many times. But this is how Christ, outside of us, who died for our sins, now can indwell us and indwell in us and become not only the one who abides in us, but also becomes the one in whom we abide. So the anointing is related to abiding in God. And without the experience of the anointing, that abiding really is not that practical or reachable, is it?
Yes, all of our fellowship with God as the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, is with this anointing. And this causes us to be able to have fellowship with God.
Right. And that fellowship is the anointing. It is the moving and living, operating of God as the Spirit within us, Christ as the Spirit within us, and it really brings us into the experience of this organic union with Him.
Yes.
So now this gives us, I think, a better understanding of what John was facing and what he was dealing with when he was addressing this ancient heresy where Jesus was being denied as being the Christ, because it affected not just our doctrinal understanding of the Trinity, but it affected the experience of the anointing in these ones who were deceived. So it was critical that he get through in this matter, and that's why we see the context in which the matter of Antichrist is brought up is all related to the matter of the anointing.
Yes, this is not only covered by John here in this book, but also Paul alludes to this in 1 and 2 Corinthians about, first of all, and as a verse you mentioned, and the last Adam became the life-giving spirit in resurrection.
Right.
And this spirit is now the anointing. And so the anointing abides in you. This anointing is what you have of God. It's God himself as the spirit and is the anointing that's in us to give us fellowship with God.
Let's look at the other verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:21 that you just referred to. Paul wrote, "But the one who firmly attaches us with you unto Christ and has anointed us is God, he who has also sealed us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." Of course, he talked about the sealing Spirit here a moment ago. This is very much an aspect of the anointing. Now, let us bring up 1 John Chapter 2, 22, in this same context related to the anointing, this one called the Antichrist. Who is the liar if not he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Of course, earlier in the chapter, it says that many Antichrists have already come and gone. Many who were denying that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist.
Right.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee as we pick up this very important point.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we are told we all have been attached to the Anointed One. Psalm 133 tells us these anointing oil flows from the head of Aaron to his beard, even to his priestly robe. And that indicates upon Christ a lot of anointing oil. Why? Because God poured the ointment upon him. God has anointed him more than all the others. Eventually, he, the anointed one, became the anointing one. When he entered into you as the anointed one, I tell you, he becomes the anointing. When you deny that Jesus is the one anointed, you deny the anointing. This is the real meaning of the title, Antichrist. Antichrist means what? It means anti the anointing. Today, according to the influence of the traditional teaching, whenever we say Antichrist, we mean the man of sin to come. Not many do realize Antichrist is a title given to those who are anti-anointing. The man of sin is fully revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You go to that chapter, you couldn't find out this title, Antichrist. And the second chapter that describes that man of sin is Revelation 13. You go there, you could see the beast. You could not see the Antichrist. Actually, the man of sin is never called in the New Testament Antichrist. This title could only be found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, and in 2 John, verse 7. Refer to the same class of people who denied that Jesus is the Christ. This means you are denying the anointed one. He firstly was the anointed one. And the anointed one, he became the anointing one. So he's right within us, the anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. We are enjoying, experiencing. Amen. and participating in this anointing.
Francis, this is very, very interesting. I just went back again and reread those two passages, 2 Thessalonians 2, which talks about the man of sin or the man of lawlessness, clearly an identification of this key personality or character, as you called him a while ago, that will be such an important figure at the end. And again, in Revelation 13, there he's described as the beast. Now, we must say, in fairness, it's not necessarily incorrect to refer to him as the Antichrist, capital A. But the point is, the Bible only uses this term Antichrist related to this matter of Christ being the anointed and anointing one. This is very enlightening, isn't it?
This is very, very enlightening and helps me a great deal to realize that to enjoy my salvation and to enjoy Christ who's dwelling in me, I have this anointing. I do have an anointing from the Holy One.
Right.
And we can abide in Him because He has come into us to be the reality of our living of Christ. And with Christ, and abiding in Him and having fellowship with Him is dependent entirely on realizing this anointing is abiding in us. And this anointing is really Christ as the Spirit to be everything to us.
There may be another angle to take a look at this, and let me throw this out to you and get your response. The Antichrist, this person, this evil one, who will be so manifestly counter God's purpose and God's goal at the end time, surely if there's an operation of this evil spirit today, it would be focused upon God's people and distracting them from the experience of this anointing. So
yes,
this is the real Antichrist, and even our pursuing or trying to speculate who the Antichrist may or may not be can be a kind of a distraction from this very experience that we're talking about,
yes,
can't it?
I surely agree with this, and I think this is very important for we Christians to realize that the Antichrist is just the denial of the Spirit as the anointing in our spirit. And if we miss that, we miss the fellowship with the Lord we could have right now. Day by day, we could enjoy Him. But if we reject that Christ is the anointed one who became the anointing in us, then we are really an antichrist or an anti-anointing, and we miss all the enjoyment of fellowship and the birthright that we have by our new birth. So we hope that this could be a real light to many of our Christian brothers and sisters who have just been short of realizing that Christ has, in His resurrection, become the life-giving Spirit, and this Spirit, who is Christ Himself in our spirit, is the anointing that we enjoy.
Mm. Well, Francis, as God's children, we have received Him. We have received the free gift of salvation, and clearly our eternal destination is settled, and our eternal destiny is settled. But along the way, if God's enemy can distract God's people from that which would accomplish God's full intention,
mm-hmm,
we really need to see that this is His major work and strategy today. Anything that distracts us from experiencing Him in this kind of way as the anointed one. I appreciated very much how he brought out Psalm 133 there, where the high priest was anointed to such an extent that it flowed down not just his head, but his beard and ultimately the garments which clothed his entire body.
Uh-huh.
And as he mentioned, this was really a picture of Christ that received the full anointing. But it also shows how we, in resurrection, in our new birth, as the members of His body, also share in this anointing, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's the marvel and the wonderful truth that is available for Christians today to realize that this Spirit is the anointing, and He is living in our spirit to anoint us day by day.
Wow. Well, let's go to Witness Lee for our final segment today, and on a very positive note here.
God's intention is to work Himself into us as our life and even as our everything, to make us His very counterpart, to express Himself. This is God's intention. To carry out this, God has to go through the process of incarnation, of human living, of crucifixion, of resurrection. Then when he got into resurrection, he became the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving spirit. And this spirit is just the anointed one, Christos. After we believed him, he entered into our spirit as the spirit. And he is here within our spirit to seal us, and to anoint us, to paint us with all the divine elements of the triune God. The more painting goes on, the more of the divine element of the triune God is added into our being, is infused, is transfused into our entire being. This is the truth, the reality of the entire New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. This anointing entered into our spirit. Amen. In this anointing, you have God. Amen. Substantially and livingly.
Amen.
You don't have a God doctrinally.
Amen.
You don't have a God objectively. You have a living God, a substantial God,
Amen.
Which could be substantiated in your spirit.
Amen.
This is all together in, by, through and with the all-inclusive spirit.
Francis, if we really think about this word anointing, especially the last few letters there, the ing, that implies something that goes far beyond just a mere doctrinal kind of mental understanding of something concerning God and His Trinity, doesn't it?
That is very true. It goes beyond that, and it really shows us that the salvation we experience by receiving the divine life when we believe in the Lord Jesus is a continual operation as the anointing is taking us through day by day. In our Christian life, He is the Spirit anointing us. We're experiencing Him abiding in us, and we're abiding in Him. This kind of experience really perfects God's purpose of making Himself so real and so experiential in our daily living, in our living Him day by day, because this anointing abides in us. We have fellowship with Him, and we can live by this anointing. He is the one that's perfecting all that He has accomplished and all He desires by imparting Himself into us by way of this anointing. So He's adding Himself in all that He is into us all the time. We are really privileged to have a spirit that can receive God who is spirit. And this spirit is the anointing that perfects all the items in our daily living as we live in fellowship with Him. And that's possible because the anointing abides in us.
Wow. You know, one of the things in this program that exposed me quite much, of course, as believers, as Christians, we would never consciously deny Jesus is the Christ. But in practicality, in our daily living, I'm struck how frequently I inadvertently deny this anointing, this moving that's going on in my inner being. If I would just stop for a moment and pay attention to that instead of my busy, busy thought life, and really find God in any small circumstance, any little, what seemingly insignificant operation. Yet He is there, moving all the time, trying to add Himself to me if He can just get our attention focused on the Anointed One anointing Himself into us.
Isn't it wonderful, Chris, that we're not obligated to try to improve ourselves, improve our conduct and our character, but to just receive this anointing and be conscious of this anointing. In other words, turn to our spirit and walk according to our spirit. We experience this anointing constantly.
Yeah.
This is not something just occasional, and it's not just a doctrinal matter.
Yeah.
So many times in the past, I've been just bogged down by certain doctrines, not realizing that this anointing was teaching me all things.
Well, Francis, very enjoyable. I wish we had more time on this particular program and this subject, but we're not done with the life study of 1 John yet. And then, of course, we're going to go on into 2 and 3 John and hope that you'll have a chance to join us again for more of these future programs.
I would love that.
We hope you'll contact us in the meantime to get the printed volume, two volumes actually, for these books of 1, 2, 3 John and Jude. If you'd like to do that, call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. For 21 years, Witness Lee conducted a comprehensive life study, unveiling how the Bible presents Christ coming to be life to man. These audio programs are based on those messages. But to get the full riches of the life study, we hope you'll visit our website, lifestudy.com. From there, you can read over 1,800 life study messages in their entirety, or download more audio programs like this one, all free of charge. Again, the website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening today.